Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's second quarter 2021 results conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded August 12th, 2021. With us on the line today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.co.il, will be used during the conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Adi Molcho Weinstein, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Molcho Weinstein, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call for Bank Leumi's financial statements for the second quarter of 2021 ended June 30. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the developments, strategy, and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleagues, Ms. Hadar Zamir, Head of Accounting, and Mr. Eyal Raz, standing in for our Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange website. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Adi, and good day all. I would like to thank you for joining us to review Leumi's results. Let's start with slide three. As you can see on this slide, the figures speak for themselves. We are continuing to demonstrate very strong results, both in the second quarter and in the first half of 2021. This quarter, we recorded a 17.9% ROE on the back of a 15% ROE in the previous quarter, resulting in a 16% return for the first half of 2021. These yields were achieved even though we have around 12% CET1 ratio due to the limitations on distributing dividends. Our cost-to-income ratio has declined to 43.1% this quarter and 46.1% for the first half of 2021, well below 50%. We see a negative credit loss expense ratio of 0.2% this quarter and 0.24% for the first half of 2021. Two-thirds of this reduction is from the specific provision, mainly due to collection, and a third is from the collective provision. A new ratio we are introducing is the pre-provision net revenue to average asset ratio. We recorded a yield of 1.5% for the first 6 months of the year and 1.7% for the second quarter. The ROA is also strong, above 1% in the first half of the year and in the second quarter. Moving on to slide four. If we look at the broader picture of the last 2 years, at our income growth and our expenses, the results are impressive. Despite COVID, we were able to increase our income by 22% and decrease our expenses by 8% in the same period. This is not a minor achievement. We do see a slight increase in expenses in the first half of 2021, but this is mainly due to high bonus provision given the positive results obtained. This jaw-like movement to which we've been experiencing for a long period has resulted in a significant improvement in our cost-to-income ratio from above 60% to 43% this quarter. This is a direct result of the improved efficiency in our operations. Having said that, it is important to mention that an efficiency ratio of 43% for the first half, or for the second quarter, or 46% for the first half, doesn't reflect our position as yet. We should keep in mind that the income for the first half of 2021 was impacted significantly from high CPI level and by two transactions of Leumi Partner, a fully owned subsidiary which mainly manages our non-traded investment portfolio. Nevertheless, the improvement was also due to a great degree from our back office automation as well as our transition to digital, and was achieved despite COVID and despite the decrease in the interest rates. Let's continue to slide 5. The net interest income in the first half of 2021 increased by more than 800 million shekels compared to last year. As I pointed out, this increase was achieved despite the decrease in the Fed interest rate and those of the Bank of Israel. The difference in the CPI level affected this increase significantly, but it was also affected by the substantial increase in our credit portfolio. In Q2, the net interest income increased by 650 million shekels for the same reasons I mentioned earlier. As a result, the NIM reached 2.03% for the first half and 2.15% for the second quarter of 2021. The non-interest finance income for the first half of 2021 reached over 1 billion shekels. The non-interest finance income was positively affected by the high profit recorded this quarter in two Leumi Partners transactions. The iron source and retailers' IPOs resulted in a gain profit of 382 million shekels pre-tax, both coming to fruition during Q2. It is important to mention that Leumi Partners is the PE investment arm of Leumi as part of our Nostrum management. In the second quarter, the non-interest finance income is similar to Q2 last year, despite the gains from Leumi Partners. This is mainly because the Q2 figures last year were positively affected by the rebound in the capital markets after the plunge in the market in Q1 of 2020 with the outbreak of COVID. Expenses were up by 6.5% in the first half of 2021 compared to last year. This increase was in salary expenses as a result of provision for bonuses due to the strong results. The increase was offset partially by the decrease in other expenses. Quarter-to-quarter expenses were up by 11.3% again, mainly due to bonus provision. I would also like to mention that Q2 expenses last year were at a relatively low level due to the outbreak of the pandemic and the lockdown during this period. Moving on to slide 6. Fees and commissions increased by 3.1% for the first half of 2021. This increase was mainly driven by both securities and financing transactions and was offset partially by a decrease in account management fees and exchange differential commissions. The change in the exchange commissions is mostly due to the relatively high volume of activity in foreign currency we witnessed in Q1 of last year with the outbreak of COVID. Looking at the second quarter, we see a nearly 10% increase in fees and commissions, mostly due to the low activity recorded in the second quarter last year due to the outbreak of COVID. Continuing to slide 7. Before moving on to review the credit loss expenses, I would like to present a brief overview of the COVID situation and other macroeconomic factors affecting the Israeli economy. At this stage, the Delta variant has led to a significant increase in active cases, still currently lower than in previous waves. The current number of active cases is about 40,000 cases, lower than the peak of 85,000 in early February of this year. Over 80% of the population 16 years or older have been fully vaccinated. Israel is also the first country to apply a third dose of the vaccination, with over 50% of the eligible population, mostly elderly or members of high-risk groups, have already received a third dose, and this number is growing daily. Regarding the GDP, the Bank of Israel's forecast from July calls for a 5.5% increase in GDP in 2021, followed by a 6% increase in 2022, based on the assumption that COVID-19 will be contained. These figures put Israel among the highest in the peer group of small open economies when international comparison of GDP forecast by the OECD. World unemployment rates were down to 9.1% in June 2021 from a peak of 37.1% in April 2020. As a reminder, this includes employees temporarily absent from work due to the coronavirus crisis and those dismissed since the beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020. According to the Bank of Israel, unemployment is also expected to improve by the fourth quarter of the year to 8%, with a further substantial decline to a level of 5.5% by Q4 2020. As for the CPI, the Bank of Israel expects the CPI to reach 1.7% in 2021, following a negative 0.7% rate of 2020. As we saw in previous slides, the higher the CPI, the more positive the impact on our results. Moving on to slide 8. As in the first quarter, we continued in the second quarter to record negative loan loss expenses. The total income from credit loss expenses for the first half of the year amounted to 370 million shekels, reflecting a level of minus 24 basis points of credit loss expenses. Two-thirds of it relate to reduction in specific provision due to collections, while only a third of the reduction relates to the collective provision. The coverage ratio, I mean the ratio between the total provision and the total debt, decreased to a level of 1.58% at the end of June 2021, still well above the pre-COVID ratio of 1.16% at the end of 2019. We have decided at this stage to remain cautious given the uncertainty on the back of the widening spread of the Delta variant. The improvement in the quality of our credit portfolio is also reflected in the 9% decrease in our troubled debts in the second quarter. The decrease is across the board, mainly due to collections. The NPL also declined slightly to less than 1%. Let's move to slide 9. The credit portfolio increased by above 10% in the last 12 months. This impressive growth was focused again in line with our strategy in middle markets, mortgages, and corporate, with real estate playing a significant role in the corporate portfolio. Continuing to slide 10. The loan-to-deposit ratio remained highly conservative, reaching 65% in Q2 2021, giving us a strong buffer for further growth. During the first half of 2021, deposits continued to grow by approximately 40 billion shekels on the back of the significant growth in 2020. Let's move to slide 11. This slide illustrates our solid capital ratios, CET1 and TCR, and our leverage and liquidity ratios. In all of these, we present ratios much above the minimum requirement. They're also much above the minimum requirement when we take into account the return to pre-COVID level requirements as expected at this stage at the end of September 2021. Moving on to slide 12. The Board of Directors announced this morning a dividend distribution of 630 million shekels. This amount reflects 30% of 2020 profits, the maximum that can be distributed at this stage according to the instructions of the Bank of Israel. The 630 million shekels dividend reflects a 3.3% semi-annual yield. Currently, till the end of September 2021, according to the restrictions of the Bank of Israel, we are not allowed to distribute more dividends. But when it's allowed, our strong equity ratios clearly demonstrate our capability to distribute additional significant dividends and or to adopt another buyback plan. I'm moving on to the next slide to my final remarks. The consistent improvement in our results is remarkable. Even though we are aware that this level of ROE in the last two quarters don't reflect our position as yet, the improvement in our fundamentals are clear. We were able to offset the negative impact of the decrease in the interest rates. We are consistently increasing our credit portfolio to align with our strategy in middle market mortgages and corporate with a high focus on real estate. And we succeeded again in reducing our expenses when putting aside the bonus provision. I would like to mention that we have also started our journey toward hybrid working based on a model in which our employees can work remotely one day a week. As for the credit provision, we are well above our pre-COVID provision level, which means that we are well prepared for any negative developments that may occur with the outbreak of the Delta variant. All of this, along with our high equity ratio and our low credit to deposit ratio, put us in a strong position looking forward. I would like to thank you again for joining us today and to open the line for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavi. Thank you for taking my questions. You talked about the strong loan growth for the mortgage segment. It seems to be a strategic segment for most of the banks in Israel, so I was wondering if you're seeing any pricing pressure.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for your question. First, the mortgage, as you mentioned, the mortgage credit is a hot market currently in Israel, based on the high demand for investing in real estate. Now, there is a big competition, and at the end, there is some impact on the prices in this competition. But since the demand is so high, so there is an impact, but not a significant impact. And also, when you mention what is the impact, you have to take into account, the mix of the price, because if there is a reduction in the fixed interest rate, is one point, and if the mix is that is more toward variable interest rate, so it means maybe that there is a small reduction in the near term, but in the long term we might even benefit from it. So to put it short, I would say that the competition is high. There is some impact on prices, but it's more driving from the mix of the credit, and not a reduction in the price itself.
Chris? I think maybe she got disconnected. Operator?
Yes. The next question is from Borja Ramirez of Citi. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your time. I have two quick questions. My first question is regarding the loan demand. Now, it seems quite strong in terms of mortgages and also corporate. I would like to ask if you could please provide some color regarding the expected demand for the rest of the year, if it could remain as strong as it currently is. And then my second question is on the deposit evolution. It seems that the increase in deposits in Israel has had some correlation with the asset purchases of the Bank of Israel. I would like to ask you if it is possible that once we start to see the Bank of Israel slowing down the asset purchases, if we could see the stock of deposits at system level to maybe show a smaller growth or even decline. Thank you.
Hi, Borja. Thank you for your question. First, regarding the demand for loans, so if I touch a minute ago the mortgages, so the demand for mortgages will continue to be high, even though the Bank of Israel take a few measures in order to calm down the market. But it seems that in the near future, the demand for mortgages will continue to be high. Regarding the other sectors, I would say that I mentioned in the presentation that the GDP in Israel for 2021 and also for 2023 is expected to be between 5.5 to 6%. So it's higher than it used to be in the past. With pre-COVID, our GDP was 3 to 4% due to the rebound of the economy based on the measures that we take here in Israel. So I do expect the demand to continue to be high. But if the question is whether we will continue to maintain double digit number pace of growth, it seems to me that the answer is not. It seems to me that we will be above the GDP pace of growth, but if I want to be more realistic, so I'm not expecting every year that we increase our credit portfolio by 10%. It was impacted by the rebound in the economy after the COVID outbreak. Now, regarding the deposits, I think that according to our data, the increase in deposits is mainly related to the COVID. To the COVID implementation, because most of our private customers and also in the business sector still prefer to be cautious and put their money in deposits and waste a little bit less in order to be able to cope with any negative deterioration that might happen in the future, because the situation is still, there are periods that we feel more comfortable and periods that we feel less comfortable. And I do believe that when the health situation will be more stable, and I saw it in the second quarter before the outbreak of the Delta variant, so I assume that this large increase in the deposit amount will decrease. Some of the money will go to investment, some of the value will go to the capital market. And for other users that at this stage are relatively conservative when I compare it to periods pre-COVID. Did it answer your question, Borja?
Yes, that was very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
The next question is from Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations on a stellar quarter and a very strong first half. The first question, if it's possible, if you could explain slightly what you see as the underlying profitability. I mean, obviously, this quarter was exceptionally strong. Trading gains and CPI both added significantly. So I'm just wondering, when you do your underlying calculus, what is it that you see is Lumi's current sustainable underlying return equity?
Hi, Micha. Thank you for your question. It's very hard to put a specific number because it depends what are your assumptions about the future. I mean, what is the assumption about the CPI level, which affected, as you mentioned, significantly the second quarter result? What is your assumption about the profit that we will derive from Lumi Partners? Lumi Partners is our PE arm investor. And if you look backwards, pre-COVID, so 2019, 2018, every year, not every quarter, but every year, there is significant profit for Lumi Partners. It depends what are your assumptions about the health situation, because currently we announced minus 24 basis point credit loss expenses, while what will be in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, depends on the health situation and the economy situation that will be driven by the health situation. So there are lots of parameters that affected this number. So what I can say, and I pointed it out in the presentation, that the fundamentals are very good. And when I mean fundamentals, I mean first the increase in the credit portfolio. Second, the automation of the back office operation, the movement to digital, the very tight management of the expenses that calls to our expenses the other expenses, not the expenses due to the bonus decrease in the first half compared to last year. We were able to maintain, if we neutralize the CPI, we were able to maintain the NIM more or less at the same level with the decrease in the interest rate. So the commission were up by 3%, and even if I take out, you know, the high volume of activity in securities and other stuff, they are still, you can assume that they can, that we are able to increase them by 1 to 2%. So the fundamentals are very good. When we look at the deferral, at the delinquent payment, the deferrals are not significant. So all the fundamentals are very good. What is the exact number? I cannot say because it depends on the assumption. But we feel and we see it through the number that the efficiency ratio improved significantly and consistently. So we are not in 46%. Maybe we are, I don't know, something around 50%. But this is the main thing that I can say at this stage. And also take into account one last comment, that even though the ROE is very high and not reflected our position as yet, but it was based on 12% CET1 ratio because of the restrictions to distribute dividends. So when you look, you know, on the future and try to figure out what is the ROE, we should also take assumptions about the dividends that the Bank of Israel will allow us to distribute, because we don't need this 12% CET1. So when the equity, when the CET1 will decrease, it will impact it positively, the ROE. So there are lots of parameters that affect this number that you try to figure out.
Right, no, that's clear. I just wonder if I can put a question differently. I mean, it seems to me that it's obvious that with interest rates being as low as they are right now and equity being as relatively high as they are right now, what fundamentally has changed that would allow you to make a double-digit return equity over time?
I think that the major parameter are the credit portfolio. The bigger the credit portfolio, the bigger the result, based on the fact that we do it in the right way. And for example, in retail, the major the vast majority of our loans are through make are through automatic model in which there is no intervention of human being. So it means it's more accurate. So the bigger the credit portfolio, the accurate the interest rate that we stated when we sell our loan. The increase in commission that we were able to achieve in different areas, and the tight management of expenses, not only because of automation, not only because of moving on to digital, but because of the fact that there are still lots of areas that we can do better. All of these improve the result quarter after quarter, I mean the core result.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned that you've been very conservative with releasing provisions. And I'm just wondering, because the numbers that you provide are obviously net after providing for the growth in your credit portfolio. Is there any way that you can give an indication of what the actual release was as compared to group provisions in 2020?
First, you are right. The release in the collective provision are net, because on the one end we release provision, and on the other end there is an increase due to the increase in the credit portfolio. Secondly, I would say that the best way to look at it is to look at the coverage ratio. Pre-COVID, our coverage ratio was 1.16% at the end of 2019. Now, after those releasing that you just mentioned, we are at nearly 1.6%. So the ratio increased significantly, and you can figure out by calculation what is the impact of our provision. And as you pointed out, we are still very cautious, and the reason is that if there will be a negative deterioration, even though Israel is the first country to vaccinate the booster, the third vaccination, and so if there will be a significant deterioration in the health situation, we feel that we prepared very well in terms of provision. And if the situation will continue to improve and the booster will do its work and we will be able to continue keeping the economy open in all areas, so we will be able in the following quarters to continue to release provision.
I understand. Just one more question on that. I mean, based on the net numbers that you provided, you released around 6% of your 2020 provisions. I think just in Q1, the Bank of Poland released 23%. I think the average U.S. banks are somewhere in the area of 37, 40%. I mean, is there a different accounting process in place at Lumi, or is it just purely conservatism that makes you release relatively less than the other banks?
I think we are facing the same economy, so I think that from my perspective, it more depends on the assumption that you make looking forward. I'm not familiar with the assumption of the other banks. I can say that regarding Lumi, the assumption, as you mentioned, are quite conservative, and I think the reality proves that we should be conservative at this stage. Nobody thought 2 months ago that we will be in 6,000 new cases a day. So I think it's better to wait and see than to be in a situation in which we will release in the next quarter we will have to increase it again. So I think if we go to the bottom line, the provision are conservative. But if we will find that the situation will continue to improve, so there is no problem. We will continue to release our provision.
Very, very clear. Okay. Another question. I mean, you mentioned that the excess capital or your Common Equity 1 is 12% right now, and therefore significantly above what the Bank of Israel requires. And I'm just wondering, what would hold the Bank of Israel back in order to allow you to go back to your original 10.5%? And if the Bank of Israel allows you to go back to 10%, is there any change in the way you look at it that you shouldn't go back to the 10.5%? And thirdly, when you look at CECL coming in 2022, what does that impact that excess capital? Thank you.
Okay. So I assume that when the easement of the equity requirement will end, we will come back to our 10.5%. I don't see a reason why we should be in a higher number. And the only reason that at this stage we distribute only 630 million shekel is a restriction to distribute higher numbers. I assume that the Bank of Israel will wait to see what will be the development with this Delta variant till we take a decision. It is in his own hands. I do assume that he will enable the bank to distribute dividend, but I assume that within this, it might be that there will be some limitation. Not like now that there is forbidden to pay dividend at all, but it depends on the Delta variant development. It might be that at the end of September there will be some restriction. But I assume at the bottom line that it will enable us to distribute dividend. Now regarding CECL, first I would just like to remind that the CECL implication, whatever it will be recorded to the regulatory capital in 4 years. So we don't have yet a reliable assumption that we can share about the CECL implication, but just for the calculation, if it will be, for example, 0.2% in terms of equity, so according to the regulation, we will record it to the regulatory capital in 4 years. So the impact of CECL on the regulatory capital doesn't expect to be significant.
Okay, that's very comforting. My last question is on the labor unrest that recently happened at Lumi. Has it come to an end? And is management going to have to provide more money or more effort in order to try to keep the employees happy? Is it something that we should be worried about? Or is it something that's done with and it's all over and done with? Thank you very much.
Well, as you mentioned, the union in Lomi declared a labor conflict. I think a week ago, we are negotiating with them, try to solve it. The main issue was the hybrid work, and we announced in the financial that we start working remotely 1 day a week. I think that this issue take out of the table a major disagreement that were between us and the union. I don't expect that this conflict with the union will have a significant impact on our expenses. Since the thing that we are discussing is not really issues that related directly to money. For example, it's the mechanism of the way that we split the raising the salary between the employee, whether we should divide it by this mechanism or by other mechanism. I don't see significant issue that related to expenses. So coming back to your question, I don't think that, first we are negotiating with the union, and I hope that we will be able, as in previous years, to end it without any job actions that might be taken in the future, And I don't think that it will have at the end a significant impact on our expenses. You see it in the numbers. You can see that the expenses are impressive when you compare the way we ended with our expenses to our peers, to our competitors.
Definitely impressive. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Micha.
The next question is from Joseph Dickerson of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Just a quick one on the staff-related costs of the performance pay. I mean, I guess the growth rate we saw in the salary costs was rather high on a year-over-year basis, and I appreciate the returns were lower last year. But as you go through the process of if the economy continues to recover and you continue to release more reserves and the ROE remains high, are we going to see higher performance-related comp, or if not, kind of what's driving that? And was there any performance-related comp associated with the two exits that you called out that went through the non-interest income number? Just trying to get back to kind of what the underlying picture looks like. Thanks.
Joe, I thank you. I'm not sure I catch your question. Can you repeat it? Because I want to answer directly to what you asked.
Yeah, I guess first of all, the first part of the question is around the performance-related compensation. So the bonuses, you know, what are these linked to? So is this more about the ROE of the bank? Because the question is, you know, if the ROE continues to remain at an elevated level over the period through which you're releasing reserves, does that drive higher bonus levels, firstly, or are bonus levels determined by other performance metrics? And then the second part of the question was more around just trying to get to the underlying picture in the second quarter. Was there any bonus element related to the two exits that you called out that would have gone through the bonus line? So on the two exits of Leumi Partners, was there anything in the staff cost number associated with those exits? So we can get to kind of a clean cost-income ratio, if you will, for the quarter.
Okay, now I understand. Thank you for your clarification. First, the bonus mechanism is mainly based on the ROE, but not only on the ROE. There are specific targets for each unit. It depends on what this unit is dealing with. So if there will be only release in the provision, we are not paying a bonus for this or in provision, but so it's mainly based on the ROE. But there are lots of unit targets that we are measure, and according to that, we are recording the bonus provision. Regarding partners, the bonus that related to these two investments that we recorded a significant profit in the second quarter already in the numbers, so you should not expect additional bonus for that profit in the second quarter or in the second half of the year. Did it answer your question?
Yes. Was there a part of the bonus number in Q2 of this year in terms of what you reported today from associated with those exits?
We are not publishing it in the financials. It's a subsidiary. It's fully owned subsidiary. It's part of the it's part of the consolidated financial, and it's not material. And Leumi Partners has only a few employees, so it's not material.
Okay, thanks.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's second quarter 2021 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.